Hey, we're back, everybody. The question left over from the last hour was simply this. You're hunting in the evening, and you shoot a deer, and the deer runs off. You pick up the blood trail, you track the deer, you see the deer standing, and so you decide to give it a little more time. You give it another half hour, but now darkness is approaching. Okay. You get back on the blood trail. You see the deer laying down, obviously grievously injured, but as you approach, the deer jumps up and takes off again. You decide at this point it's going to be too dark, and the deer is, you know, moving. So you decide to do what, you know, you're told to do, is back out, let the deer lay, expire or whatever, and come back in the morning. You come back in the morning, you pick up the blood trail, you find the deer. Unfortunately, it has not been cold enough overnight to preserve the meat, and there's been predators chewing on the deer. So now, what do you do? You're faced with a dead animal. You're faced with a deer that you've shot, and you've recovered, but the animal's unusable. What is your decision? That is the question, and we've had a number of opinions, and I shared some of the opinions of people that I spoke to over this past week about a scenario like that. One fellow said, who's a strong hunter ethics and hunter safety instructor, intimately involved with youngsters, not intimately, that's the wrong word, but closely involved with youngsters and hunter safety, said it's your obligation to, harvest as much meat of that animal as you possibly can. But again, you don't know. And of course, you got to let your conscience be your guide on that too. You got to let your nose be your guide as well. So, I mean, do you take the back straps and, leave the rest of the carcass? Do you leave the entire carcass? What do you do? And then once you've made that decision, then the next decision is, do I check this animal in on my tag, and why? Well, there are a number of decisions to be made. And this is nothing that is hard and fast as far as the law is concerned. Yes, there are laws on shooting an animal and leaving it lay. It's called a want and waste law. But that's a whole different scenario. That is a fineable offense. Somebody who, let's say, shoots crop damaged deer and just lets them lay in the woods. That's intent. That's purposeful. And that is a violation. Let me answer the question. To leave an animal in the woods, if it has been found and unrecoverable, there is no legal requirement for you to check that in, at least according to our wildlife department. The department believes, I guess the department understands, that will occasionally occur. And whether the deer is recovered or not is basically a moot point. They've got that built into the formula, the management formula, that there's going to be some of those deer that are unrecovered. In this situation where the deer is recovered, it's hunter's choice. You may check that deer in if you desire, if you feel obligated to do that or not. There's no legal requirement there to do so. You do not have a possession tag. You do not have a butcher tag or a taxidermy tag. You don't have anything in your possession that you would need to have a harvest tag on. Now, this is where ethics come into play. Again, a complex code of behavior based on values and or moral convictions. If you feel bad that, you did shoot that deer to eat, or to donate, that's what you were going to do with that deer, then you are, again, under no legal obligation, but how do you feel? What do you believe? What are your values? What are your morals? What is in your heart? Do you check this animal in, understanding that, it is for management purposes, even if, it counts against your limit? And now let's take that to another step, and I'll throw this in. What if the limit on doves, let's say, is 15? and you've killed 12, and you shoot one, and it falls in cornfield, and you look for it, and you can't find it, or a soybean field, and it's you're not going to recover it. Did you kill 13, or do you keep shooting until you have 15 in the bag? See, the bag limit, as opposed to the moral limit, is two different things. So there you go. Again, it all boils down to what you believe, your ethic. And one fellow said, no, I don't check it in. I leave it lay. I didn't get it. I didn't recover it. It's not mine. So it's somebody else's responsibility. It's the fox's. One fellow said, I check everything in. If I kill it and recover it, whether I use it or not, you have to, you feel the compelled to check it in. So what's the answer? What's the clear-cut answer? I don't know that there is one necessarily. It's all boils down to what you think you should do. So there you go. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Now we're going to talk about something else. And I find it very interesting, and see if you can pick up on this. The Maryland Natural Resources Police, the NRP, is continuing to step up enforcement to stop commercial and recreational fishermen from illegally catching striped bass and punishing offenders to the fullest extent of the law. Officers have charged numerous individuals with catching undersized striped bass in the past month. Do I really have to read the secretary's quote? I don't think so. NRP recently charged the following recreational fishermen with these violations. Pay attention, because I may not be able to repeat some of these names. On August 28th, NRP, Natural Resources Police, NERPS, charged Lester Melendez Dominguez and Obed Jonathan Sanchez Rivera, 29, both from Hyattsville, each with possession of 10 undersized striped bass. The violation occurred at Kent Narrows. Court date set for October 17th. Keep in mind, these people are innocent until proven guilty. On August 31st, NRP charged Jose Alberto Zelaya Rivas, 43, for possession of 11 undersized striped bass and possession of 9 striped bass over the limit. Violation occurred on the chop tank. Court date, November 12th in Dorchester. September 2nd, NRP charged Jose Gonzalez, 32, from Tacoma Park for possession of 18 undersized striped bass. The violation occurred at Terrapin Park in Queen Anne's County. Court date set for November 14th, Queen Anne's County. September 2nd, also NRP charged Efrain Guerra, 30, Victorino Gonzalez Hernandez, 29, and Selvin Noel Rodriguez, Sr., 24, all from Laurel, with possession of 237 undersized striped bass, Kent Narrows. Court date set for November 7th, Queen Anne's County. September 8th, NRP charged Roger Mauricio Nolasco Portillo, 28, from Washington, D.C., with possession of 20 undersized striped bass and exceeding the daily catch limit of striped bass. The violation occurred at Roman Cook Pier. Court date set for November 7th in Queen Anne's County. September 15th, NRP charged Brenda Adali Villagran Acevedo, from Hyattsville, possession of 11 undersized striped bass exceeding the daily catch limit, Kent Narrows. November 7th is the court date. Did you notice a theme? I did. They're all from the area around Washington, and they were all caught on the Eastern Shore. Did you notice any other similarities? The above individuals face a maximum fine of $1,500 per offense, plus an additional fine of $1,500 per fish for the first offense. If found guilty, the angler's license could be suspended for 1 year. I can't wait to see the press release that comes out with the penalties. In the midst of these incidents, on the morning of September 10th, NRP recovered an old gill net from the Chesapeake Bay near Bloody Point. Recreational fishermen discovered the net when his fishing gear became entangled in it. It was 1/2 mile in length and did not have any markings to indicate who it belonged to. I'm shocked. Barnacles covered the net. It contained decaying aluminum cans. Results have been in the water for a long time. Contained a few crabs, horseshoe crabs, and menhaden. NRP pulled it out of the water with the help of the DNR buoy tender, the MV Sandusky. I've been on that buoy tender boat, by the way. That's quite an impressive boat. The net was in the same area of the Chesapeake Bay where NRP recovered nearly 10,000 yards of illegal anchored gillnet containing almost 16 tons of striped bass in February of 2011. NRP has since stepped up patrols and enforcement, leading to more violations cited for both recreational and commercial fishermen. DNR has worked in collaboration with industry leaders over the past several years to develop an appropriate penalty system to ensure that those who choose to continue to violate the fisheries laws and regulations of the state will progressively lose their privilege to make a living harvesting the precious fisheries resources in Maryland. The agency restrictions are the result of the working in collaboration effort and fine work of the Natural Resources Police and Office of the Attorney General. And then it goes on to talk about Governor O'Malley's leadership and so forth and so on. I'm assuming you can. But I did receive an email from a friend who took every person's name and highlighted it in red. And his question was, do you notice anything similar? All right, let's see. Here's an email response to the deer question. Even in cold weather, my rule is next day as early as possible. Warm weather, the meat will sour very quickly with the hide still on and the guts still in. I have no problem salvaging a deer in cold weather that I can find as early as possible the next day, even if the foxes have chewed it slightly. Deer carrying wounds are another story totally. Infection sets in very quickly. The bloodstream will carry pathogens and toxic products from bacteria very quickly throughout the animal. Wounded, crippled, infected deer get put down and left. Foxes and eagles got to eat too. So, yes, indeed. So, good point. Good point. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I've got to talk about Clyde Sports Shop a couple of times this hour. You might get tired of hearing about it, but we missed one commercial spot last hour. So let me start out by talking about Browning. The hunting headquarters for Browning in Baltimore is Clyde Sports Shop. There are every model of Browning firearms available from Clyde Sports Shop, whether it's the Satori XT trap gun or the Satori Sporting, which is a great upland gun, maybe the X-Bolt high-powered rifle available in a lot of different calibers. All standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers are available. They have an adjustable feather trigger. The magazine, the clip is detachable. Extremely accurate bolt-action X-Bolt rifle from Browning. The Maxus, M-A-X-U-S shotguns are also available. There are auto loaders that waterfowlers prefer now. 3 and 3.5-inch chambers. A power drive gas system reduces recoil, and they are available in Mossy Oak Duck Blind, and the camo models are shown. Don't forget the Synergy, the Gold, the Silver, the BT-99, the BPS, the BAR, the BLR, Browning lever action, and the Buckmark handguns, all available at Clyde Sports Shop, a full-line Browning dealer. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. The website is www.clydesports.com. Full gunsmithing, scope mounting, firearm service at Clyde's Sports Shop. There we go. And we are having an event today. We collectively, as hunters, are having an event at the Polaris Open House ATV sale and hunting event at Pete's Cycle Shop, and that's on Bel Air Road, exit 32A, and also in the town of Bel Air and in Severna Park. Now, at Severna Park, of course, the ATVs are on sale, and they will have Ronnie Hall from Hall's Taxidermy down there. Nice display of whitetail deer at his shop, and Ronnie's been doing it for a long, long time, and you can get acquainted with him. At the store in Bel Air, Fountain Green Farm and Building Supply is there with a complete selection of deer supplements, food plots, that type of thing, and they invite you back to their shop there in Harford County when it's all done. Now, all the vendors will be there from 10 to 2. At Pete's Cycle in the Baltimore store, Beltway Exit 32A, Bel Air Road, I'll be there at about 10 o'clock, and that's when it all kicks off. The Fellows from Big Buck Sense will be there. Ian Madison, the owner of Big Buck Sense, he'll be there with special deals. We've got, Bob Warden from Wild Mineral. They'll be there. And all these products will be for sale as well. I know that. John Akehurst is having a waterfowl seminar at 11:30 on mostly on resident geese and calling geese and setting up your decoys in the field. He's going to be there with that. And Tracy Groves will be there at 10:30 with a deer clinic. And, it'll just be a good time. All this is sponsored by Polaris. Now, here's the commercial. Pete Cycle's having their Polaris open house and hunting event of the season today from 10 to 2. Pete Cycle is having a deer hunt and waterfowl mini clinic starting at 10:30 at Baltimore Store. Hunting vendors are on site from 10 to 2. Save up to $1,000 on 2012 Polaris ATVs and Rangers. Financing as low as 2.99% available. Save up to 25% on parts and accessories. Don't miss the Polaris open house at all three locations. Again, Bel Air, Severna Park, and Baltimore. Visit their website if you need to, PeteCycle.com. Polaris adult models are for riders ages 16 and older. Always wear a helmet. Be sure to take a training course. Polaris Rangers are not intended for street use.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Joan Jones. Fashion Week tends to set trends months ahead of the coming season, but it's not just about clothes anymore. Makeup companies are clamoring to sponsor fashion, sometimes paying a fee in addition to providing manpower and products. Maybelline burned through more than 650 tubes of mascara on the 11 runway shows it sponsored at New York's Fall Fashion Week. Essie used over 3,000 bottles of nail polish. And lesser-known cosmetics companies like NARS Cosmetics invested heavily, hoping for exposure on a wider platform. More people keep tabs on runway shows via web video and social media now, and in some cases, a beauty brand's involvement in a show can lead directly to sales. NARS makeup artist Jenny Smith, who works on runway shows and makes store appearances, says sometimes women will pull up a picture on their smartphone from a web show and ask for the same look. I'm Joan Jones for the Wall Street Journal Report.
My dad's Mercedes Z-Class has 26,000 miles on it, but I'm taking it to a billion zillion.
Of all the things you hand down to your children, very few will be of the quality of a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Because a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is 100% through and through a Mercedes-Benz. And right now, during our certified pre-owned sales event, you can get exceptional 1.99% financing on select models. Every one of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes a rigorous inspection by factory-trained technicians to ensure it meets the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And considering we invented the automobile, those standards are indeed high. Plus, a warranty and roadside assistance for up to 5 years and 100,000 total miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius satellite radio.
Thanks in advance, Dad.
Hurry into the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now through October 1st. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned.
See dealer or call 1-800-4-Mercedes for complete program, including certified pre-owned, limited warranty, and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations. Not all customers are qualified for advertised APR and are subject to prior credit approval.
Big Buck Sense Cold Scent has a fast-growing reputation for attracting big Maryland bucks. Several friends of mine have used Cold Scent with great results. Big Bucks. Maryland's Eastern Shore is home to Big Buck Sense. Big Buck Cold Scent is different than those mass-produced bottles you see on every shelf. First, it's one deer to one bottle. That's a 4-ounce bottle, too. Plenty for the rut. Now, the deer urine is collected and immediately refrigerated. It's kept cold, and the vital elements will not break down and become less attractive. Trust me, there's a science behind all this. Big Buck Sense arrives at your local dealer cold in its own refrigerator. You keep it cold till you use it, and you will see the results. Try Cold Scent, Vanilla Bean, Doe in Heat, Dominant Buck, or Doe Pea in the 4-ounce bottle. For more information, visit the website BigBuckSense.com or visit your local dealer. Ask for and use Cold Scent by Big Buck Sense. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCBM.
Let's talk to Steve in Kent Island. Good morning, Steve. Thanks for holding on. Sorry you had to endure sure, that break.
Hey, I've cut down my two oldest boys. They're 9 and 11. Got them in hunter safety these last few weeks.
Right.
And the instructor's going over the different types of firearms that they might have as their first gun. I was considering a 20-gauge single shot. But I'd also like them to hunt geese, so maybe the single shot's not such a good idea. You got a recommendation on a good all-around youth gun?
Well, yeah, I mean, Remington makes a great youth gun as far as a pump shotgun is concerned, which is very sufficient for waterfowl. Even in a 20-gauge. And with the advances in ammunition, waterfowl ammunition in particular, I mean, you know, 20-gauge is nearly as effective on geese and ducks as it is as is a 12. You know, if you're shooting decoying birds anyway. The particular model I'm thinking of comes with both a deer barrel and a goose barrel as well. So, you know, that's up to you. Now, There is a significant investment there, of course, but I would seriously consider two different guns, to be honest with you. Like you said, the 20-gauge single shot is great for deer hunting. It's a good gun to use, and then, you know, pick whatever waterfowl gun you have. I mean, it eliminates changing out barrels and things like that. And, you know, you got goose season coming in right before deer season coming in right after goose season, and, you know, back and forth between the barrels. And if you want to make that investment, do it that way, that's fine. But I would say maybe even go with, you know, the single shot deer gun and then dedicate it to the deer hunting. And I mean, I know the investment's significant for two boys. You know, we're talking four guns, but my grandson has a 20-gauge Remington pump gun, and depends on their stature. You can get one that has actual inserts for the stock that will grow with the boy. So if you've got a small-statured young man with, you know, short arms and that type of thing, the youth model 870 is great for that. And, you know, it actually comes with more inserts that you can lengthen the stock with. And I tell you, he's become pretty proficient with it. So,
yeah, that's great to hear. Your recommendation is pretty much consistent with what they said in the in the course as well. So,
yep.
Hey, thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad I was able to back those guys up. But you know, it's all a matter of economics. It's all a matter of what you want to, you know, what you want to do, what you want to invest in. I mean, that H&R single shot with a reasonably priced scope, you're looking $350 for a deer gun, you know, and then the I think the Remington is $290 to $325, somewhere in there.
It's showing a 3.25 on the internet.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the other barrel for it is
the deer barrel.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. But I mean, it's up to you whether you want to switch barrels out. I mean, it's certainly a way to go. I have an 870 that was Kathy's, and converted it to a deer gun for it has a smooth bore and shoots the Foster style standard slugs, not the rifled slugs, and I've converted that to a combination turkey gun. And if we hunt Dorchester again, as far as jump shooting
sick of deer,
I've got the deer barrel on there that's not choked. And I can, you know, depending on the shot, I can use the buckshot or I can use the slug. So,
well, great. Thank you very much, Alan.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. There he goes. Let's talk to Rusty in Catonsville. Good morning, Rusty. How are you?
Hey, Alan.
What's up?
First of all, I want to say the crab magazine you came out with.
Yeah.
Marilyn Loves Crab.
Yeah.
First class, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Really.
Good.
But these minton crabs, I was wondering if, you know, when you're shucking oysters, sometimes you get oyster crabs in there. We call them oyster crabs.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing or different?
No, different. No, there's that comparison chart in there is probably valuable to be able to tell the difference between those two crabs. If you actually take those crabs and examine them, there's a little notch in the head that identifies an immature minton crab.
Right.
I don't know if you got the copy of the magazine there, but there's actually, you know, there are a couple species that are, of crabs that are in our bay that are not consistent with a mitten crab, and there are some basic differences. So just use that little chart, and once you see one, identify it, then you'll know what to look for.
Right, right. I mean, we used to, there's a couple of places, Fairleys down in Lexington Market used to sell those great little oyster crabs, but
yeah. Really?
Good eating. I haven't seen any lately for the last couple of weeks. I haven't been down there for
oyster crabs by the pint.
Yep. This was a while ago. I haven't been down Lexington Market for 10 years, but Bill used to have them in a pint.
Really?
Container.
I never heard of that. That's very interesting. I'll have to check around about that, find out what that's all about. Oyster crabs, huh?
That's what I call them.
Okay.
That's what I've been hearing.
Well, that'd be good. Maybe you can be my investigative reporter on that. Send us what you find out. We'll put that in the next Crab Magazine.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy.
Bye, man.
Thanks, Rusty.
Talk to you.
See
you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Les in Hellthorpe, and then we got Charles on the line. Good morning, Les. How you doing?
Good morning. The other guy talking about the guns popped a question in my head. You might know the answer. I picked up a old Stevens 12-gauge pump.
Right.
From a guy, and I'm thinking of wanting to convert it into a home defense weapon.
Okay.
From down, you know, down to size. Legal is 18 and a half.
Yep, exactly. Always be safe on that, by the way. You know.
Well, yeah, safety, the way you cut the barrel and
well, no, I mean, as far as length is concerned, you don't want to be pushing it to the, you know, an eighth of an inch or something like that. Give yourself. It's not going to make a difference sitting in your closet whether it's 18 and a half or 19 or, you know, whatever that might be. But just make sure you got enough barrel length. That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, I know the federal is 18, so leave it, you know, 19 or 20.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
From the chamber. But a friend of mine said that Maryland law says that you can't alter a shotgun like that. Do you know if that's true or not?
I don't know the answer to that. I do not know, and that's a very good question. I would call Clyde's.
Yeah, I'm right around the corner from there.
Yeah, I know. You're in Hellthorpe. So, I mean, I would certainly call them and say, what can I do? I mean, is it a deer gun or is it a long-barreled shotgun? Is it a bird gun or what?
Yeah, it's a deer gun.
Oh, it's a deer gun?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't touch it. It has a smooth bore or a rifled bore?
Smooth bore.
Yeah. Just leave it the way it is. I don't think there's any, you know, you're talking 15 feet down the hallway. You're not talking about, you know, 100 yards out there trying to, you know, if you're converting it to a home defense weapon, you don't need a scope on it. You don't need to even have a sight on it if you don't want. But if you got a standard old deer barrel on a shotgun, that's an excellent use for it.
Well,
that's your call. I mean, you know, I there are ways to shorten barrels, and, you know, you just want to make sure you crown them and that type of thing. I got a buddy that has a shotgun, a Remington, that has rustiflage on it for camo, and he uses it in his duck blind, and he's got the barrel sawed off on it to the point where it's there's no choke. I mean, it was a choke shotgun. There's no choke in it at all, and he uses it for shooting decoy ducks. You know, the ducks are 15, 20 yards out there, and it's got a wide-open cylinder bore on it, and he's happy with it. Hey, if he's happy with it and he's killing ducks, he's a pretty good shot. I've seen him use it. Why not? So, but I don't know if it's legal or not to alter it like that. I would find out. You know, I would simply call him and find out.
Like I said, a friend of mine brought it up to me because I thought just that the only thing was that federal law applied to the length.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there's a problem with that, to be honest with you. But again, always check.
Especially in Maryland.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks. See ya. There he goes. Charles in Baltimore. Good morning, Charles. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, and it's such a pleasure to hear your voice.
Oh, my.
I started to review my life, and it's such a hodgepodge. I didn't know what to do with it, but I thought your listeners would enjoy a story of Madagascar, which is now called Malagasy, and the lemurs. I was very interested in the orthopedics of the lemurs, and I call them prosimians of Madagascar, which includes the lemurs, the aye-ayes, and the safakas. And I wanted to get right with them and have them in personal contact with me. So
sure.
I took stalks of bananas into the jungles.
Okay.
And about 25 years from now, there'll probably be no wild lemurs. And I heard this crashing through the forest, and I became alarmed because there are no predators in Malagasy.
Right.
And who is it? It is the researchers of Cornell University, and they were incensed with me because I was feeding the lemurs bananas, and I have dozens and dozens of pictures of me with them, and the reason was that they had been researching the fecal matter of the lemurs to see what they ate. And here I was giving them bananas,
and their research
had extended over 2 or 3 years, and they were very upset with me. And the only thing that resolved the problem was I said, if it weren't for people like me, you wouldn't have anything to research, because I donated to the animal situation in Malagasy. So I have all these pictures.
That's funny.
And I sent everything. I wrote a number of dissertations. Some of them that I could remember were the orangutans of Sarawak. I had done them. I did the polar bear and actually had one for a couple of weeks. I called him Nanook. That bear is now in the Beijing Zoo. And I had all these exotic, eclectic, esoteric papers, and I'm starting to rummage through them now. Some of them are over 50 years old, so it's pretty hard. And I wanted to study what remnants of the dinosaurs existed, and I did the orthopedics of the Indonesian tree shrew, which is a very exotic animal. And I couldn't decide whether to do the possum or the tree shrew, but I wanted to travel to Indonesia a number of times, so I did them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the people in your audience, the whole world is now disappearing with this animal population, and if you have the finances, you can travel the world and make your observations.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know that the some of the modern administrations with some of their rules and regulations as far as being against hunting and that type of thing, and I can't say the name of it right now, but some of the rules had changed, and what had actually happened was they prevented people from hunting game in Africa, wild game. And I don't know if our listeners know this, but you surely do, that sport hunting is probably the biggest benefit to some of these countries. Not only do the hunters share their game with the villages and feed the entire village on one hippo, rhino, elephant, or whatever it might be, that the limits are so strict that, you know, they also contribute a huge amount of money. And that is sometimes the sole source of income to some of these villages in some of these African countries. Were you aware of that?
Yes, because I contributed to it.
That's the U.S.
I did a lot of that.
That's
the
USAID organization that reaches out to help fund things in other countries like that. And they wanted to stop accepting hunter money and prevent hunters from doing that with no real conservation ethic behind it, just simply because they were against hunting. And you know.
Well, many people don't know, even in the animal world, that there was once a 6-foot penguin. And I did a paper on penguins called The Bipedalism in a Penguin. I wanted to know why they could stand up straight. And there was at one time a 6-foot lemur. And the government in Madagascar wouldn't let me see it because they were afraid I would usurp all their research work. So I never got to see the actual 6-foot lemur.
But now this was a
my age knows, and
this was
all disappearing.
Let me find out about this 6-foot lemur. This was a carcass that they had had. These are extinct now?
Yes, they're all extinct. Uh-huh. They're gone.
Wow. Okay. Well, Charles, again.
You're such a pleasure to listen to. You make me so happy. And there's very little in the world that excites me. Your voice and the way you handle everything
is so interesting.
I love it so.
All right, Charles. Well, listen, I always appreciate your stories. And you know, the people don't understand that the research that you did goes to you were doing studies on these primates and tree shrews and other animals around the world, but that certainly benefited humankind because of the understanding that you had of their skeletal structure. I believe you were a chiropractor, is that
yes.
correct? Yeah.
So sure. I knew the anatomy of all these animals.
Sure, exactly. So, very good.
And if anybody wants to read some decent books, which just entranced me, was Russell Wallace, who did his research in South America. And I was on the Amazon, and I began reading his Rio Negro and his discussions of all the things he saw. And mm-hmm. he was, of course, with all the researchers in those days.
Sure.
And he never got any credit, really. He missed out due to time and inability to get his papers to the Lioness Society in France.
Hmm. Understood.
But please keep up your wonderful work. And you teach me so much about hunting and everything else. And
well, you're a worldwide hunter, Charles.
I was. I'm at the end of the trail.
All right. Well, let me get together with you. I definitely do want to meet you, Charles.
Well, I'll show you some of my pictures.
Nobody
ever believed anything I ever told them.
Oh my gosh!
You know, they all thought I was making it all up.
Sure, I understand.
So I have, believe it or not, over 10,000 pictures of.
I do believe that. I understand.
That I have, and no place to. They do have a biography of me in Illinois, and but nobody seems to be interested. I couldn't get rid of all my books.
No, my gosh,
research.
No.
Nobody seemed to want it.
Hmm.
If it's not on computer, they're not interested.
That's true.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Charles. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Fascinating. Fascinating, fascinating. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. Archery season is just getting underway. And I'd like you to take a look at the Coda bow, crossbow. I know Chuck Mistaic, the owner, a great guy, come up with a great product and has some really good concepts going on there with the Coda bow, made right in Pennsylvania, and you need to go down and fire one of those at Clyde Sports Shop. Now, Parker has a great crossbow, too, the Gale Force, the Tomahawk, the Tornado F4, and even the Challenger. Now, the Challenger, I want to tell you, is great for youngsters and for ladies to get them started into archery. And then, of course, they've got the great Inferno Sidekick and Extreme compound bows as well as the vertical bows. Now, they also sell the Diamond Bow by Bowtech. There's a Quest bow there that's made by Diamond called the G5. It is fully assembled and ready to hunt. And don't forget, with muzzleloader season right around the corner, Thompson Center Firearms, America's master gun maker, the largest selection of Thompson Centers you will find in Maryland is at Clyde Sports Shop, the Triumph, the Omega, the Encore, and all the ones that you see promoted across the board, and a full selection of muzzleloader and archery accessories as well. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway Exit 9, 242-6108. That's 242-6108 is the phone number. Clydesports.com is the website. They're open 7 days a week since 1957. It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. deer hunters by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat. You not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through a participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426. Hey, this is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex Spray-On Bedliners of Glen Burnie. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, the only authorized Linex dealer in Glen Burnie, and proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliners completely seal your truck bed. They seal water out of the corners. They seal out rust. And you know what? They have a durable, non-slip surface. They reduce noise and vibration. Linex bedliners resist most chemicals and fuels and acids. They protect against impact. And you know what? They clean up just like new at your local car wash. And the chemical is environmentally friendly. Now, the new Linex Extra is fortified with DuPont Kevlar. It utilizes the paint coat of your vehicle and can match your bed liner to the color of your vehicle, just like that. Plus, the extra benefit of Kevlar protection. And Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offers Linex protection that comes to you. The mobile unit can come to your home, farm, or job site and apply the correct Linex material that works for underground containment, secondary containment, underground tanks, forklifts, decks, trailers, you name it. Anything that needs protection against rust and corrosion. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Bellway Exit 3A or Ritchie Highway North. Visit them online at baylinex.com. Give Bobby Hawkins a call. That's Bobby Hawkins, 410-789-0199. Find out how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card when you mention the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. The Buck Bomb is the hottest deer scent technology on the market. The Buck Bomb is pure deer urine manufactured in an aerosol spray. Now, the Buck Bomb, distributed in this molecular form, gives whitetails the opportunity to follow the scent trail to your stand site. The delivery rate and the large broadcast area cannot be duplicated with liquid, solid, or gel scents. Buck Bomb Doe Pea and Vanilla Curiosity work well any time to disguise your odor. Pick up a can of Young Buck or Acorn Rage for the bow season. For early muzzle loader, the dominant buck scent will challenge other bucks to seek you out. And now the heart of the rut through firearm season, try Doe and Estrus or Bone Collector Buck Bomb. Visit your local outdoor retailer or you can order online at buckbomb.com. Learn more about the Buck Bomb or you can call 866-850-6653. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire. Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your hands start shaking, your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before.
Buck fever, baby. You get that, boy, there's no cure. You know what I mean? And that's why we hunt. That is why we hunt. You know, it's pretty funny because sometimes you're sitting there and the deer are coming out and you're starting to, you know, check them out and watch them. And I tend to remain pretty calm until after the shot. And then that's when it strikes me. I mean, my legs will start shaking and everything else. And you know what? If that didn't happen, I wouldn't be doing it. That's right. If I were just cool, calm, and collected, what would the thrill be? What would the excitement be? So we had a question about oyster crabs earlier. A fella sent me an email that describes them as pea crabs, small, rounded inside the shell. They're found in most other bivalves like mussels. And totally, totally different than mitten crabs. So there you go. Just a point of information. Let's talk to Dell. Oh, he's still on the phone. We'll get to him in just a minute. All right. Hey, if you're headed up to Pete's Cycle today, remember, 10:30, Tracy Groves, and 11:30, John Akerst. Tracy's going to be doing a deer mini clinic, and John is going to be doing a waterfowl mini clinic, including calling and decoy setup. We'll have Big Buck Scents there, one of our sponsors. Special prices on Big Buck Scents. They've got the vanilla curiosity scent and the doe and esters. This is a 4-ounce aluminum bottle, aluminum, to help it stay cold and, you know, as long as possible. And the inside of the bottle is Teflon lined, so no light gets into the bottle of a 4-ounce bottle of deer urine, and it's stored cold, kept cold. And it's good stuff. Also, Bob Warden will be there, Mineral Bob, with Wild Minerals. And this is the minerals that we use on our plot in Cecil County. And Bob will also have products for sale, deer feed, the mineral products, ground fire, orchard blend, and some of the other ones I can't remember. But they'll be at the Bel Air store. I'm sorry, they'll be at the store on Bel Air Road, the Baltimore store, right there below 32A, headed towards the city, about a half mile on the left-hand side in Overly. At the Severna Park store, Ronnie Hall is going to be there with Hall's Taxidermy, one of the best whitetail and most reasonably priced whitetail taxidermists that I know. And at the Bel Air store, this is Pete's Cycle now, we'll have Chad Ferris from Fountain Green Farm and Building Supply, and he'll have a bunch of deer supplements there for food plots, late season stuff, attractants, and that type of thing. So you might want to check all that out. And then, of course, you know, visit those shops and businesses after this event. So Pete's Cycle, all three locations today. And, of course, this is sponsored by Polaris, but all the ATVs are on sale. So let's talk to Dale. Dell on his cell phone. Good morning, Dell. How are you? Hello, Dell.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
Alan, I don't know if anybody has approached you or not. You know today is National Hunting and Fishing Day.
I did announce that at the beginning of the show, yes. And I didn't mention the event at the Associated Gun Club's range in on Marriottsville Road in Marriottsville. So there you go.
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of the show.
Well, that's all right. You got to wake up a little earlier to keep ahead of me, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just want to make sure you knew that.
Not only did I know it,
Dell has done.
Dell, not only did I know it, but I published it in the fall issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly.
Okay.
So there you go. It's been out. It's been out in the public since 1st of August. That the event is there, and we put the press release in there, and we've talked about it a couple times on the show.
I'll see that. Nobody tells me anything.
Well, you know, I've tried to talk to the folks at AGC, and I get nowhere. So, you know, we just don't do a lot of promotions. We'll let people know that it's there. But, you know, I work with people who work with me, brother. That's the way it is.
Well, I will tell you this.
You don't have to launch
in. Chair in this are up to their eyeballs with work.
Well, Dell, I'm not taking anything away from anybody. All I'm saying, and you know it, that we've spoken to AGC on numerous occasions. They all know that I'm here on the air. And one of the guys simply said to me, I'll just call your show and tell people about the event. So, okay, the event's out there. There you go.
All right, thank you very kindly, sir.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Have a wonderful day. If you're not doing anything, you might stop by, and we'll see you again.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Dell, but stay in touch with me, all right?
Bye, buddy.
Thanks, man. See ya. 410 WCBM 680. We're almost out of time, aren't we? All right. I got to tell you folks about a couple of folks. Sean Mann Sean Mann is a world champion goose caller and champion of champions. He lives on the Eastern Shore, and he has a business called Sean Mann Outdoors. And the website is www.seanmann.com. Now, Sean, in 1985, created a call. That's when he became world champion. He created the call before that, called the Eastern Shoreman. And it's in just about every goose hunter's bag in Maryland that I know. And if you need to learn how to call geese, that's the call I learned to call on, and that's the call you can learn to call on as well. Readily available in your local retailer. But we would invite you to visit seanmann.com or even call the toll-free number and talk to the folks at the company. 800-345-4539. 800-345-4539. And check out all the details on the Eastern Shoreman, the duck calls and the snow goose calls from Sean Mann Outdoors. Right there in Talbot County. And I tell you, Sean's a nice guy. He's probably in Saskatchewan right now, a waterfowl hunting, but you can learn how to book a trip with him or learn more about the calls at seanmann.com or by calling the toll-free number. And I got to tell you about Tochterman's downtown. While the music is playing, all fishing all the time. Tochterman's. You name it for fishing, they've got it. Any type of fishing, fly fishing, offshore, surf, spinning, trolling, rockfish, bass, panfish, plus all the fly tying materials, all the lure building materials, 1,000 fishing rods on display, 600 fishing reels, Costa Del Mar sunglasses, largest selection I ever saw, Yeti coolers, waders, apparel for the outdoors, stuff to cook your catch in, all the terminal tackle, a giant selection of bass fishing lures, and the experts to go along with.